I want to speak to a gentleman who's going to change the face of the service we get from the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service in the very near future, Mr. Michael Bloomfield, who's the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service Chief Executive. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Significant changes coming. What will we notice primarily?
We hope so, Frank, and that's the consultation we're launching today that we hope to engage the public on over the next 12 weeks. The proposal set out in that consultation, if implemented, will transform the way that we in the ambulance service handle and then prioritise the 999 calls that we receive in order to provide a better response to everyone, but in particular with a focus on making sure those who most urgently need our services in terms of having life-threatening conditions, to make sure they receive a very timely response.
So you're concerned that when people make a 999 call, there isn't really a necessity for the ambulance to attend that patient. There have been many examples of that, is that right?
Well, not necessarily saying that, Frank, but it's about making sure we prioritise them appropriately. Under our current model in which we categorise calls when they come through to our control room here, that method of categorising calls has been in place for over 40 years. It is now out of date. It doesn't reflect the skills that our very professional staff now have. So our current way of categorising those calls means that over 30% of all the calls we receive are actually being categorised as immediately life-threatening, and therefore we're trying to send a response to those within 8 minutes. The evidence from elsewhere, and indeed the experience of our own staff, indicates that in reality a much smaller number of people actually require that speed of response. So currently over 30% we're trying to respond to. We believe in reality it's more like 7 or 8% of people really need a response as quickly as that. So if we can improve and change the way that we deal with those calls and prioritise them, it will allow us to target our resources most effectively at those who really need it, but at the same time we're keen to make sure we provide a better service for everybody as well.
So the call handler will be making a big decision.
Call handlers already make big decisions. Frank, we categorise calls in one of five categories, from immediately life-threatening to more routine. That is done by our call handlers. They're very experienced. They're very well-trained. They do that job extremely well. What this will do is it will help them through some more sophisticated questions and taking, in some cases, a little bit more time to find out the nature of the person's condition. It will allow them to categorise those calls more accurately. The positive part of that is, in doing that, we will make sure that we can get our resources in a more timely way to those who really need it urgently. Conditions like potential heart attacks, but more than that, serious head injuries, people who are fitting, etc. We'll make sure that we get our resources to those sorts of calls. At the moment, those calls are all grouped within a much bigger cohort of patients, as I say, over 30%, some of whom do not require an ambulance within 8 minutes.
A call handler, is he or she equally as qualified as the paramedic who arrives at your doorstep?
No, they are not qualified to do the role. They are two different roles. It's an emergency medical dispatcher is actually their proper title. They are trained in how to deal with those calls, to recognise at a very early stage if it is very serious and life-threatening, and to get an ambulance dispatched immediately, but to then get more information about the call and to categorise them appropriately. They do not. Some of the people who do it have been paramedics in the past who have moved into that, but they do not, in that role, they do not see or treat patients.
But is there not, with this new system, a chance that they might be pressurised into not sending an ambulance when an ambulance is needed?
The system that we are proposing to implement was piloted in England from about 2015 and subsequently implemented. There's more than 14 million calls have gone through that system in England with no serious adverse incidents. It's been independently evaluated by Sheffield University, and they continue to do ongoing evaluation of it, and it has not shown any adverse incidents. In fact, it shows that for the more serious patients, those who really need it, where time is absolutely critical, it shows for those patients an ambulance is actually dispatched more quickly, because their urgent need will be identified much more rapidly in the call and an ambulance automatically sent. This is not about trying to not send ambulances. This is about triaging patients appropriately so that they, the right priority patients, receive the ambulance more quickly. More generally, in terms of not necessarily sending an ambulance, not everybody who calls 999 for an ambulance either needs an ambulance or needs to go to hospital. And we have got staff now, we've got paramedics, trained paramedics in our control room who will take some of those calls from the call handler, and they will talk to the patient or their family member to get more details and signpost them to other services that are more appropriate. And in fact, of the calls that have gone through to that clinical support desk since it was set up almost a year ago, around half of those calls have not required an ambulance to be sent. That's the best use of resources. That's the best thing for patients. It supports the wider health system. That's the direction of travel that we need to continue.
I just see someone on the text saying that he was involved in an incident, and an ambulance was required. It took a while to come. There was only one person injured, and eventually two ambulances arrived. Is that a mistake if two ambulances arrive for one casualty?
It's what can happen under our current system, which is again one of the issues that we are we would propose to address through this. So, for example, when somebody calls through to ambulance control about a car accident. So obviously, if nobody's injured, they don't phone the ambulance. But if somebody is potentially injured and that comes through to ambulance control, we will regularly send more than one ambulance to that, because our ambulances are only able to transport one patient on a stretcher in the back of it. Car accidents potentially have more people than that, so we will sometimes send multiple responses. This will allow us, again, by just finding out more details and more sophisticated questioning, it will allow us to find out exactly what the need is and get the appropriate and the right response sent first time. Another example of that, Frank, where we would say that this will deliver improvements. Currently, certainly for one of the calls that are categorised as life-threatening, currently we send the nearest ambulance response that we have, just who will get there quickest. Sometimes that will be a single paramedic in a car as opposed to a double crew ambulance. If that single paramedic in the car arrives on scene and certainly adds a lot of value by meeting any immediate needs, if the patient needs to go to hospital, they cannot transport them in a car. What we will endeavour to do this is, if it's clear that the person is likely to need to be transported to hospital, we will send a double crew ambulance first time rather than sending a single paramedic in a car, and save those staff to go to calls where we believe it's less likely a patient will need to go to hospital.
Okay, just finally and briefly, we don't have an executive at the moment. This has to be signed off by a minister after the consultation. Are you confident that it will be signed off by a senior civil servant, the changes, or might it hang and hang?
Well, our focus over the next 12 weeks is to engage with the public to refine our proposals accordingly and put in final recommendations to the department. At that stage, the decision-making process will be a matter for the department, but I would hope it can be done quickly.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, Michael Bloomfield. Thank you for your time this morning and buy into the consultation. Michael, just one thing before you go. People will ask, how do you express an opinion on the consultation?
The consultation document is on our website, on the NIAS website, and we will also be writing out today to all of the people on our consultation list. But if they go on to the NIAS website, the consultation document is there together with a questionnaire that people can complete and submit.
Okay, if that's your bag, do get online at the Northern Ireland Ambulance website. Mr. Michael Bloomfield is the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. We're rapidly going through the morning. The day is nearly away with it. Good morning.